almost to the end of the Old Testament, and Zephaniah, I believe, will be next. That's right. And Zechariah, and he'll come in there pretty strong. And Malachi, the last one. But Zephaniah, Zechariah. So we're marching on toward the end of the Old Testament. We're just going to move right on into Matthew and move right on through the New Testament. That's all right with y'all. But we may not, because there's so many different parts to chapters in there, that we may not cover a whole chapter a night or two chapters. May not do with three or four verses. It's according to what the story is that Jesus is teaching us about. So we'll see how that works out. But Habakkuk tonight is very interesting. And Habakkuk had some complaints. And he brought them to God and he questioned God. And God answered him. And so as we think about this, and Babylon's on its way to becoming the world power at that time, and they've been chopping away at the Assyrians and overthrew this little town and that little village and this little place. First thing you knew, the Assyrians were in captivity to the Babylonians. And one of Habakkuk's main questions that he was asking the Lord was, Lord, why do you use the Babylonians they're the most wicked to deal trouble with the people? And God's going to answer him. And so Habakkuk, just remember, he's a man that he looked for answers. He wanted to know. And he's just troubled by what he observed and what he saw, like we do a lot of times. And we can wonder, we can see someone that's faithful and just and does everything they can in their spiritual life. And here comes a person that doesn't acknowledge God in any way, and all. It seems like they prosper, and that other person just gets deeper in the hole. And so the main thing that Habakkuk, and I'm going to be honest with you, not this time, but the last time, I thought when we got to Habakkuk, I said, that's a woman, you know. I had that thought until we got into that study, and I said, Habakkuk's not a woman, it's a man. And so we see a lot of names today. We don't know if they male or female, and we get a vision of them. But he asked God, he said, why would that you use those wicked Babylonians to overthrow the Assyrians, to punish us and do the things that you did in our lives concerning them? So verse 1 of chapter 1, it said the oracle, and an oracle is just a message from God. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet received. How long, O Lord, must I call for help? But you do not listen. Can you imagine telling God, I asked you something and you didn't answer me? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Doesn't seem to bother you a bit that they're killing one another in the streets. Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abound. Therefore, the law is paralyzed. Justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous, so that justice is perverted. Now, Habakkuk's questioning God on these things. And what do we see in our world today? I want to go back and I want to answer these things. He says, destruction and violence are before me. The streets of Minneapolis, what are they doing? Fussing, fighting, arguing, killing. There's strife. Conflict abounds. You can only imagine in the day of Habakkuk and compare it with today and what we, as far as population-wise and area-wise and stuff, but these demonstrations are not just going on in one place. They're going on in many different places and stuff. And verse 4 really spoke to me. Look what it says. It said, therefore, because destruction and violence are going on in the streets and there's strife and conflict abounds, the law is paralyzed. Danged if you do and danged if you don't. You know, they're in a situation where if they try to protect law and order and bring some peace, and then they're the bad guys. They make the law wrong. He said, the wicked hem in the righteous. Well, you take one of those demonstrations where they several hundreds of folks and 8 or 10 cops, what do? You've watched enough and seen enough of the demonstrations on. They hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. And if I'd been down in that crowd of men fighting with that dude and him with that, you know, I don't know what I would have done, you know. Let's see what the Lord told him. He asked, why? Verse 5 says, look at the nation and watch and be utterly amazed. For I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. How did God answer? I told you in the last, with Nahum and others, God said, look and see. Here he said, look at the nations and watch. Be utterly amazed. What are they doing now? Some of the nations or people are standing with America. Others is what? With the enemy, ain't it? He said, I'm going to do something in your day, Habakkuk, that you would not believe, even if it were told you. I can't help but wonder to myself, what could that be, you know, that the Lord's going to do in their lives? And to tell the Israelites there in Jerusalem, you just wait and watch. And I'm going to do a work in your day that you would not believe, even if it were told you. He said, if I sat down and drew you a picture out of how I'm going to handle this situation, you wouldn't believe me. And he said here in verse 6, I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwelling places that are not their own. They liked to have prisoners. They had prisoners, they had laborers, made them do the things the Babylonians did and stuff. But my little footnote, and we're going to read a couple of three of them tonight because it First one says, God responded to Habakkuk's question and concerns by stating that he would do amazing acts that would astound Habakkuk. When circumstances around us become so unbearable that we begin to wonder if God has forgotten us, remember, He's in control. God has a plan and will judge evildoers in His time. If we are truly humble, we will be willing to accept God's answer and wait for His timing. And Habakkuk just could not comprehend why God would use as wicked a nation as the Babylonians were to overthrow and destroy the Assyrians and the Persians and fight off all those nations, come in, take over, and it'll explain to us a little bit how they did it. We already covered it in a previous chapter that we studied, how they built the ramps and went over the wall and done all the things that they did in previous chapters to overthrow Jerusalem. And then when they overthrowed it, they went in and looted it, got everything of any value, and human as well as livestock and all the possessions and stuff, and took them back with them and their lives. Second thing my little note says here, God told the inhabitants of Jerusalem that they would be utterly amazed at what He was about to do. All right? The people would, in fact, see a series of unbelievable events, and He names them. We've done studied about some of them, so see if you remember. First, He lists their own independent and prosperous kingdom, Judah, would suddenly become a vassal nation. And Judah, 2.5 tribes of the southern kingdom, thought that simply because they were God's people, God wouldn't let them suffer. God wouldn't let them go into captivity. Remember us studying that back in Isaiah and Ezekiel and some of those chapters. Second thing, Judah didn't think they would fall, but the Egyptians, who were a world power for ever and ever and ever, would be crushed almost overnight. Just come right in. Babylonians overthrew them, took them out. Nineveh, the one we just studied a few days back. And old Jonah done what? God told him to go down to Nineveh and do what? Preach repentance, wasn't it? He refused. He boarded a ship headed in the wrong direction, didn't he? Wound up where? In the belly of a whale, letting a fish. And from there, he got coughed up on dry land, and he was glad to go preach to Nineveh then. God got his attention. But Nineveh, if you remember, was the capital of Assyria. And the Assyrians is the one that's being conquered here. And finally, he says the Babylonians would rise to power. Though these words were indeed amazing, the people saw them fulfilled during their lifetime. I'll have to see it to believe it, you know. But God let them do what? Live long enough to see what He was exposing them to and their lives. So the thing that amazed me about it is how fast the Babylonians were able to rise to power and to get to a position of being the world leader at that time. And So whenever they got powerful enough, they began to hack away at the Assyrian armies and stuff and taking them. And the first thing you knew, they overthrew the Assyrians and Egypt, and they became the strongest world power of the day at that time. But they were just as wicked as the Assyrians ever thought about it. And they loved to collect prisoners. Had to have somebody to be their labor force. They were really proud of themselves. They had a lot of pride in their armies and stuff. Look how smart we are. Look what we were able to do. We built those fortified cities. We built those walls and piled that dirt up there and went over them walls and conquered them place. You know, they just got really conceited in their tactics and stuff. And because of that, they put all their trust in helping to make their military forces strong and strong and strong. And they were something to contend with in their lives and the things that they were doing. All right, let's see what he said here. Look at the nations and watch in verse 5. I'm going to do something in your day that you would not believe even if you were told. I am raising up the Babylonians. That had to be an eyebrow lifting experience there. Raising up the Babylonians. You mean they're going to overthrow the Egyptians? They're going to overthrow the Assyrians? That ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwelling places that are not their own. Too sorry to build them a house, they just go take somebody else's. Too sorry to take their land, fix it for themselves, build their own, they just take somebody else. Because of this, verse 7 says, they are a feared and dreadful people. They are a law to themselves. They make the rules as they go along. They control the powers to be, the judges and the law enforcement itself. And they promote their own honor. And lived in a day and a time when it was big I and little you. They promoted themselves. Look at verse 8. Along with their military, said their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves at dawn, dusk. Wolf at dusk is looking for what? Supper, isn't it? And it wouldn't do them to cross his path. He said their horses are swifter than leopards. Now, what little I know is on nature cattle and stuff, leopards and stuff, but they're pretty fast, I think. They can run down a deer or antelope or other animals that are fast, and overthrow them. They fly like a vulture, swooping to devour. They all come bent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind, and they gather prisoners like sand. Their cavalry gallops headlong. Their horsemen come from afar. You know, a lot of these protesters, you know, they're not native Minnesotans. They are being paid to come in and stage these demonstrations and provoke the violence and then stand back and say, poor little innocent me, look how they treated me, you know. And their lives. So verse 9, he says, they all come bent on violence. Sound familiar to you? Their hordes advance like a desert wind and gather prisoners like sand. And so when they put all their forces together and they move in, they don't have any regard for humanity. And they only interested in what they can get out of these situations here, their homes, their riches, their plunder, all the prisoners, all the tribute that they can get from other nations, you know, support. And they're getting plenty of support to be down there, or they wouldn't be down there fighting and arguing and carrying on like they're doing now. And so let's see what he says here. And these things here, he said, they deride kings. They scoff at rulers. Verse 10. They laugh at all the fortified cities. They build earthen ramps and capture them. You know, when you take an army of thousands of men and they bring all of them a bucket of dirt apiece, you can be up high enough to go over that wall and stuff. And he said that they laugh at all our fortified cities. They build earthen ramps, captured them. Verse 11 says, then they sweep past like the wind and go on. Guilty men whose own strength is their God. Babylon was very proud of its military might. They were very proud of their strategy. They had good leadership that knew what to do and how to do and do it quickly. They had the weaponry. They had the armies. And life didn't mean a thing to them. Had no regard whatsoever for humanity and stuff as they were dealing with this and their lives. So scripture says that then they sweep past like the wind, go on, guilty men whose own strength is their God. So now Habakkuk's going to ask God about his second complaint. What was his first one? God, why did you use the wicked to overcome the spiritual? What are you doing? Letting these Babylonians come in here and overthrow the Assyrians? They overthrew the Egyptians, the Persians. How in the world are we going to defend them? We're just 2.5 nation of people. Here's his second complaint, verse 12. Lord, are you not from everlasting? Aren't you the beginning and the end? My God, my Holy One, we will not die. O Lord, you have appointed them to execute judgment. O Rock, you have ordained them to punish. And what he's sharing here is Judah's forthcoming punishment, that God's going to let the Babylonians do the work for him, and that they will be punished by the hands of the Babylonians. And Habakkuk he was appalled that God could take such wickedness and use it against his own people. And how in the world could he take a nation more wicked than Judah was and use it to overthrow Judah? And But the Babylonians didn't know what you and I know because we've had the scripture to study. But God was just using the Babylonians to give Judah and the Israelites down there a lesson in turning away from the Lord and what they were doing here. And my little footnote outside of that says evil is self-destructive. And you can't do wrong and make it right. And the things that are happening here. And but God's God. It. What was here in the beginning? Zero, right? God spoke it all into being and made it as he saw fit, didn't he? He do anything that you can improve on? I can't. But as he's dealing with this here, he's telling him here that, God, you were here from everlasting. In the beginning, and he's going to be here when? In the end, that's right. And so he said, O Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, will not die. O Lord, you have appointed them to execute judgment. O Rock, you have ordained them to punish. So in 2026, fixing to be February, 2026. The Word of God is still going from the beginning. And the beginning, the Scripture says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God started changing things, didn't he? God's going to bring things to an end. And all the nations of the world are going to see what? That he's Lord of Lord and King of King. They can go along. They can do all these things. Look at verse 13. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. I put it to you in the Bexley lingo as saying to us, you know, that God can't be where sin is, can he? That's the reason we have to stay confessed up in our hearts. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? Why? You know, there's been times in my life I wanted to question God. I wanted to ask him, why? You know? All the things I'm trying to do that I feel is your will for my life. Why? And so, but you've got to remember that even though evil is destructive, evil is never out of God's hands. God's still in control. And we all know that one of these days, when he's had enough, he's going to say, son, go bring my children home. And there's going to be an end that's going to cause people to stand in awe. Not believe what they see. Verse 14 says, you have made men like the fish in the sea, like sea creatures that have no rulers. The wicked foe pulls all of them up with hooks. He catches them in his nets. He gathers them up into his dragnet. And so he rejoices in glad. Made a big haul of fish, hadn't he? He got out there and run his lines. He had a boatload of fish and stuff. And he rejoices and is glad. Therefore, he sacrifices to his net. Therefore, he sacrifices to his net, and he burns incense to his dragnet. For by his net, he lives in luxury and enjoys the choicest food. Boy, he can go have him a T-bone, can't he? Because he had what? A great big catch of fish, didn't he? You know, and he can rejoice in that and say, boy, I'm telling you, I've eaten fish till I'm sick of it. I'm going to get me a steak, you know. And he can have him a big time in his life. He said he lives in luxury and enjoys the choicest food. Is he to keep on emptying his net, destroying nations without mercy? How long, Lord? At first verse, he asked that question. How long, Lord, are you going to let this go on? You know, I can't fault Habakkuk, can you? Because he's seeing all this right before his eyes, and he knows what he sacrificed. He's probably been treated pretty harshly and trying to carry the word of the Lord to him. But as he deals with this, that's what God would have him to do. So Sunday night we'll move on into 2 and 3, because 2 is just way too much to try to cover in one night. But Habakkuk did tell him this. You read forward, you'll see it. He said, I will stand at my watch, and I'll station myself on the rampart. What was he saying? Lord, I'll be there, and I'll do my part in your life. Any other thought? I wonder when the trumpet sounds and the shout comes and the grays flip over and we start heading out of here, what people's going to think. What did he tell? I'm about to do what? A work that'll stand in maze. Well, that'll be some comments made. But for people that have known better but didn't do better, what are they going to know? I waited too long. I waited too long. It really did happen. That's the rapture. There they go. Yeah. Any comment? Any thought? Yeah, he'll fly on the wall and see what Peter Jennings had to say. Yeah.
You had mentioned him, of course, he's in eternity now.
Yeah.
He already knows.
He knows what it's like, don't he?
He already knows.
And I bet he wished he could redo a few. There's going to be a lot of folks in that boat.
Amen.
A lot of folks. Yeah. All right. That's right.
That's the scary part.
Yep.
Walking around and sitting,
oh,
we have plenty of time.
Plenty of time. Yep. Well, we can find out, can't we?
You don't know the day or
the time.
No.
Wednesday night, three or four weeks ago, maybe not that long. I was standing out front out there. One of my old classmates went by, Robert Burnett. He lived up in the edge of Green County, but he's going down to Brother Dillon's church down there. And I waved at him. He blowed the horn at me. We graduated together and stuff. And next day or two, one of my friends called me and said that he dropped dead of a heart attack, you know. Just fine one minute, we out of here the next, you know. We had no guarantees. Your brother knew what was coming with him. He is prepared for it, you know, and Nazarenes are able to have that victorious home going, you know. But those people that just, they are flirting with their eternity, aren't they? Father, thank you for this time tonight that we've had to share. Thank you for your word and your watch care over us. Thank you for these brave soldiers here tonight that have braved the elements to come out and study your word. Strengthen us through that word, Lord. There's many other needs in the lives of our people. There's a lot of sickness, a lot of weather-related stuff. Lord, we look up above us and we can see how blessed we really are down here in South Mississippi. We have our hurricanes, but they have their ice storms. And God, it's just amazing to see how quickly. But God, it may turn their head for a moment. But if you're not careful, Lord, they're right back to their old ways. Help us to see that only in you will we find real peace. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.